Well, it's a great pleasure to be here. I'm thankful to the organizers for inviting me to this very interesting conference. This afternoon I am going to discuss how the quantum noise as produced by attenuators and amplifiers can affect the entanglement. Now, as you know, the attenuators and amplifiers both play certain degree of role in various quantum information protocols, and so it's good to understand the effect of attenuators and the amplifiers on entanglement. How the attenuators affect the entanglement, this is a problem which has been very extensively studied in last 5 years or so. However, the effect of amplification on entanglement has been addressed so far very little. And that's what primarily I would concentrate on today. So let's consider a phase insensitive amplifier. Classically, we of course know that the input and the output would be related by this gain of the amplifier. And if we turn this relation into a quantum mechanical relation in terms of the input and the output Heisenberg operators, this obviously would be incorrect because the commutation relations are going to be violated. What we need to add is a noise term here, and that can keep the commutation relations of the output operator intact, provided we assume that the noise term itself has a commutator which is related to the gain of the amplifier. However, this consistence criteria about the maintainability of the commutation relations does not tell you anything about the correlations of this noise term. And further, we also have to know the statistics of this noise term. Now, that has to come from a microscopic model. The corresponding attenuator problem is somewhat simpler in the sense that we have no mixing of the annihilation and the creation operator, and in fact the output photons are related to the input photons by this simple relation. In other words, the noise term in the case of an attenuator does not lead to the addition of a photon. So we might expect that the amplification process would do lot more damage to quantum entanglement. Okay, so let's look at the standard model for the amplifier, and we take a two-level model of the amplifier, and we say that we have certain number of atoms in the excited state and certain number in the ground state, and under the typical assumption that the atoms relax much faster then the field, one can write a density matrix description for the behavior of the field as it goes through the amplifier. And this density matrix equation can be rewritten in terms of the output Heisenberg operator, which is the kind of relation that I had written from the consistency requirement of the commutation relation. However, now this basic density matrix equation gives you explicitly the moments of the noise operators. So like CC dagger is related to the gain and this factor eta, which depends on the relative population in the excited state and the ground state. It also turns out when one examines the solutions of this density matrix equation that the noise operator here C has Gaussian character. Okay, in 1980s, there is a classic paper from Mendel's group who studied what happens to the non-classical features of light as the light is subject to the process of amplification. And in particular, Freeberg et al., they studied what happens to non-classical properties like the subpersonian statistics or the squeezing characteristic of light as it propagates through the amplifier. And they proved that these characteristics of the light beam survive if the gain of the amplifier satisfies this relation. They also examined if under this condition on the gain of the amplifier the light beam became completely classical or light still had some non-classical characteristics. So for that you have to look at the p function of the light beam, and you do find that beyond this limit the p function does not necessarily become classical. So that means some quantum features of the light beam still survive. For our purpose today, I am interested in studying that how the quantum entanglement would survive if the light beams are subject to the process of amplification. And most of my talk, I would discuss the case of Gaussian states. Gaussian states are very useful because the process of the down conversion produces Gaussian states, and further mathematically the characterization of entanglement in Gaussian states is well understood. Now, the master equation for the amplifier, it gives you this beautiful result that if the input state to the amplifier is Gaussian, then the output state is also Gaussian. And Gaussian character is in terms of the Wigner function of the light beam. So when we say that the state is Gaussian, that means the bigness, the corresponding bigness function is Gaussian. So this is an important result for the amplifier problem, that the Gaussian character of the input state is maintained in the process of amplification. Okay, so now we can explicitly study what happens to the entanglement. So here we have the OPA or the down conversion, which produces these two beams A and B, and these are entangled, and then we subject these two beams to the process of amplification. The output of this is in the state psi, which is generated from the vacuum state by this unitary operator, that is essentially the effective interaction characterizing the process of the down conversion. This state can be shown to have a Wigner function which has this Gaussian character. The parameter R is related to the pumping amplitude and the nonlinearity of the down conversion process. Okay, let me also remind you how the quantum entanglement in a Gaussian state is characterized. So we write a general form of the Wigner function for the Gaussian state, and sigma is the covariance matrix. The covariance matrix is related to x and p variables. These are the x and p's are the quadratures of the light beam, two quadratures of the light beam. So the covariance matrix is in terms of the quadratures of the light beam, and if we rewrite the covariance matrix in this form, the sigma is going to be a 4x4 matrix, and alphas etc. would be 2x2 matrices. Then one finds, and this is now a well-known result, that the necessary and sufficient condition for the Gaussian state to be entangled is that smaller of these two eigenvalues, so smaller of those two eigenvalues must be less than half. So this is the precise criteria for the entanglement in a Gaussian state. And some people like to use the criteria in terms of the logarithmic negativity, and logarithmic negativity of the state is related to this eigenvalue in this fashion. So if we look at our state which is produced by the down converter, this state, the parameter R gives you the amount of entanglement in the state which is produced by the process of down conversion. So in fact the logarithmic negative parameter turns out to be exactly equal to 2R. So this Gaussian state has this nice property that the entanglement in the state is also related to the squeezing property of the state. So now we can calculate the effect of the amplifier. We know the solutions to our density matrix equations or to the Heisenberg equations in terms of the noise operator. We also know the correlation functions of these noise operators. And so we can calculate this parameter nu, and which is related to the gain of the amplifier, related to the initial entanglement in the state produced by the down converter, and eta is related to the relative population in the excited and the ground state of the amplifier. And so this result shows that the entanglement would survive if the gain of the amplifier is less than this particular value. For a completely inverted amplifier, eta goes to zero, and in that case, the gain of the amplifier must be less than this value in order for the entanglement to survive. Okay. Let's look at the asymmetric case, in which meaning that supposing we only amplify one of the modes. So supposing we only amplify A and leave B unamplified, what happens to the entanglement in the initial state? In this case, the parameter nu has much more complex behavior. For a fully inverted amplifier, here is the behavior of this parameter nu. Okay, so the solid line is for the case when both the modes are amplified, and the dashed line is for the case when only one mode is amplified. And so one finds here that if you amplify only one of the two modes, then the entanglement survives over much larger values of the gain parameter. If you had amplified both the modes in a symmetric fashion, then beyond this point, the entanglement would have been lost. Whereas if only one mode is amplified, then entanglement sort of continues for much larger values of the gain of the amplifier. Of course, the amount of entanglement is also affected by this parameter eta. So which is a measure of how much the amplifier was originally inverted. And so if you have the initial R parameter for the state produced by down converter to have this value, then depending on this parameter eta, you can read from this graph when the entanglement would disappear. So whenever you will cross this value 0.5, the entanglement is going to disappear. Of course, if you have larger entanglement in the input state, then the net entanglement would survive over larger values of the gain. Now, after we put this paper on archive, Paul Lett wrote to us he sent me a copy of his paper, experimental paper, where they had studied the effects of noise on entanglement. And since Marino is here and he's going to talk partly about this work in his lecture later in the conference, so I'll just briefly tell what their experimental results are. So this is the published version of their experimental work. And basically in their scheme they have the process of 4-way mixing in rubidium vapor, and so you have the pump and the probe, and the pump and probe going through the rubidium vapor are going to produce a conjugate beam, as well as the would produce an amplification of this probe beam. And so if you just look at the probe beam, for example, in this experiment, then this whole process of 4-way mixing is like phase insensitive amplification of the probe beam. And they studied the amplification of one of the output beams. So first you generate the entangled beams, probe and the conjugate beam, and then let us say you amplify one of the beams and then look at the output after amplification and the original beam, and look at the various quadratures that you form by taking the differences of the quadrature of this beam and this beam. And if you look at one of these curves here, say the curve red one, and what they have shown that the entanglement survives over much larger region of gain, and this of course is the case of asymmetric amplification. So this is sort of the result, which is quite consistent with our finding. Okay, next I want to discuss what happens if we have the non-Gaussian states, and could non-Gaussian states be more robust against the process of quantum noise addition. So what are the possible non-Gaussian states that one can study? There is a whole class of non-Gaussian states which have been studied in literature, and what you do, you take say the state which is produced by the down converter, and either you add photons to this state or you subtract photons to this state. So these are the states obtained by addition or subtraction of photons on the state produced by the process of down conversion. And once you do that, then such states have non-Gaussian character. So this is one of the possible states studied in literature. And another state which had been extensively discussed in the literature, it was introduced by Dowling and collaborators, and this is the noon state. So basically here you have the vacuum state, and on the vacuum state you add n photons either in one mode or in the other mode. That is the noon state. So we can look at the question of say amplification of this noon state, and obviously this noon state is an entangled state, but you can characterize the entanglement in the noon state, for instance, by looking at the logarithmic negativity parameter. So I have 5 minutes. Okay, so logarithmic negativity parameter for this noon state. And one can show that if you look at the partial transpose of this density matrix, then the partial transpose of this density matrix has a negative eigenvalue which is equal to minus half. Okay, so let's look at the amplification of this noon state, and let's look at a perfectly inverted amplifier, and the dynamics of the perfectly inverted amplifier has a very simple behavior. If we look at this quasi probability. So this function was introduced by a number of people, originally by Hoshimi, but in quantum optics by these people. And so basically you take the density matrix of the state and take its projection on the coherent state. That is called the Q function. And again, it's well known in the literature that if this function becomes zero, so whenever this function becomes zero, it implies non-classical nature of the underlying state. So for the perfectly inverted amplifier, it turns out that the Q function of the output has this relation to the Q function of the input. It's just a scaling of the variables alpha and beta. And this is very helpful because then we can find out what is the density matrix of the output. First of all, you can note that the zeros of the output function are the same as the zeros of the input function, characterized by this relation, and you can explicitly calculate the output density matrix for the noon state. And what happens that originally we had the vacuum state here, so the vacuum state is replaced by a thermal state, and the thermal nature of this state is controlled by the gain of the amplifier. And so this is the character of the output state, and you can see that this output state never factorizes. So we have a symmetric amplification process for the noon state, and it always remains entangled. We would like to find out the corresponding logarithmic negativity parameter of this state in order to characterize quantitatively the entanglement, but so far we have not gotten it. Okay, we can also look at the other non-Gaussian state with amplification of the photon subtracted state, and the Q function of the output would have this character into the Gaussian part, and because this Gaussian part becomes separable if the gain exceeds certain critical value, therefore for this state the entanglement would be lost if the gain would exceed that critical value. So basically the behavior of this non-Gaussian state under amplification as far as the entanglement is concerned is same as that of the original Gaussian state. produced by the process of down conversion. Well, we have also studied the phase sensitive amplifiers, but I think since my time is running out soon, so let me stop here and project my concluding transparency. Thank you for your attention.